from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
here is the news first, the headline. Indonesian President Prabowo and Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture Ministries discuss quick win programs. Indonesia to open European Union desk to strengthen cooperation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto discussed the quick win acceleration programs with ministers in the red and white cabinet under the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday. After the meeting, Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, Abdul Mukti, conveyed that President Prabowo directed the ministries to coordinate with each other on his priority programs. Meanwhile, Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin, who also attended the meeting, explained tuberculosis control and free health screening were included in the discussion on the quick win programs in the health sector. Indonesian Minister of Investment and Downstreaming and Head of the Investment Coordinating Board Rosan Ruslani has said his ministry will open a European Union desk to improve cooperation between Indonesia and the region. He informed that the decision is the outcome of a meeting with members of the European Business Chamber of Commerce Indonesia, which took place at the ministry's office in Jakarta on Monday. Europe is Indonesia's fifth largest source of foreign direct investment. The Netherlands, France, and Germany are countries with the highest investment. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan has said the national rice stock has reached 8 million tons by the end of 2024, so there will be no need for additional imports, including for the next year. According to Minister Hasan in Jakarta on Monday, the government has decided to stop rice imports and produce up to 32 million tons of rice in 2025. The domestic need for rice consumption is around 31 million tons, which is lower than the production target. The remaining rice will be stored in the government food reserve. According to the minister, the plan to stop imports was also included in the 2025 commodity balance. The last national news is from Indonesia's Forestry Ministry, which has said several local wisdom values of indigenous communities can serve as examples for managing food waste, including utilizing food in its entirety and taking only what is needed. Head of the Subdirectorate for the Stipulation of Customary Forests and Rights Forests at the ministry, Yuli Prasetyo Nugroho, pointed out on Monday, a number of lessons related to waste management can be taken from the practices of several indigenous communities. He delivered the remarks after a media discussion and the launch of the food waste by admission application in Jakarta. Now we move to the international news. Ahead of UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer's official visit to the kingdom, Arab News reviews recent bilateral developments between the two kingdoms. As reported by ArabNews.com, forging alliances that transcend borders, Saudi Arabia and the UK have emerged as powerhouses of collaboration, driving innovation and reshaping global landscapes in the fields of energy, technology, and sustainable infrastructure. Australia announced a multi-million dollar agreement with Nauru on Monday that gives Canberra a veto right over a range of pacts the tiny Pacific atoll might want to enter with third countries, including China. As reported by CNN.com, Australia offered 140 million Australian dollars or $89 million over 5 years to the remote nation's population of 12,000 under the treaty to be implemented next year, including 40 million Australian dollars to enhance policing and security. We end the news with the National Parks Board on Tuesday launched an initiative dubbed as Singapore's most extensive coral restoration effort to plant 100,000 corals. As quoted by CNA.com, known as the 100K Corals Initiative, the aim is to plant the corals in Singapore's waters over the next 10 years and beyond. The plan was first announced by Minister for National Development and Minister in Charge of Social Services Integration, Desmond Lee, during the 5th Asia-Pacific Coral Reef Symposium last year. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary highlights World Human Rights Day. Human Rights Day, observed every December 10th and initiated by the United Nations after World War II, is a global effort to prevent the recurrence of inhumanity among humans on Earth. The UN General Assembly issued Resolution 423, inviting all countries and relevant organizations to sign an important document opposing human rights violations. For the 2024 Human Rights Day, the UN has adopted the theme Our Rights, Our Future, Right Now. It highlights how human rights can be a solution amid various global crises. Meanwhile, Indonesia's Ministry of Human Rights has chosen the theme Harmony in Diversity toward Golden Indonesia 2045, aiming to strengthen the values of human rights, democracy, justice, and peace within society. In a discussion with the media regarding Human Rights Day in Jakarta on December 5th, Special Staff for Media Communication at the Ministry, Thomas Harming Suwarta, said that the ministry aims for human rights values to become more popular and applicable not only for the Indonesian public but also for government officials. Hence, human rights development in Indonesia can be more effective and widespread. Human rights are fundamental rights for humans to live in the world, such as the right to life and the right to obtain necessities such as clothing, food, and shelter, as well as the right to interact, assemble, and express opinions. Indeed, human rights are sensitive issues that are often raised in unrest or when people's rights are being violated. Human rights align with justice, honesty, and democracy. When justice and honesty are lacking, tyranny or the takeover of rights may surface, along with tendencies toward fraud, coercion, and greed. When fraud occurs, dissatisfaction arises, leading to turmoil and violence. Therefore, respecting the rights and duties of each individual or group proportionally is the fundamental principle for everyone, anywhere and anytime in life. In Indonesia, the 76th World Human Rights Day commemoration is held on Tuesday, December 10th at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Theme Park in East Jakarta. At the peak event, which is open to the public, the Ministry of Human Rights prepares a public celebration and activities for children. The Indonesian Minister of Human Rights, Natalius Pigai, is presenting awards to government agencies and corporations for their achievements and commitment to human rights. The ministry also launches the Indonesian Human Rights Index. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Ahmad Faisal. Listener, we begin today in history with an event on December 10, 1957, the establishment of Permina, which later became PT Pertamina. On 10th December 1957, PT Eksploitasi Tambang Minyak Sumatera, or PT ETMSU, was renamed PT Perusahaan Minyak Nasional, or Permina. The date is still commemorated as the birth of Pertamina. In 1960, PT Permina changed its status to a state company, PN Permina. Later, PN Permina merged with PN Pertamin to form PN Pertambangan Minyak dan Gas Bumi Negara, or Pertamina, on 20th August 1968. PT Pertamina is a state-owned enterprise operating in the oil and gas sector. This year, PT Pertamina celebrates its 67th anniversary under the theme Energizing the Change. Now let's move on to Human Rights Day. 10th December is commemorated as World Human Rights Day. It was created to celebrate when the United Nations General Assembly adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, or UDHR, is a landmark document that states the inalienable rights of every person as a human being, regardless of race, color, religion, sex, and etc. The UN General Assembly officially proclaimed World Human Rights Day in 1950 and called on all member states and UN agencies to commemorate the day every 10th December. The theme of this year's World Human Rights Day is Our Rights, Our Future Now. We end today in history with the Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize is awarded every year on December 10th at the Stockholm Concert Hall in Sweden. The Nobel Prize is awarded to an influential person or an outstanding achievement in a particular field. There are five fields in which the prize is awarded, namely physics, chemistry, medicine, literature, and peace. The Nobel Prize is the most prestigious award for professionals in these fields. The Nobel Prize was created to honor the achievements of Alfred Bernhard Nobel, a Swedish engineer, chemist, and businessman. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My Indonesia Today is on: Indonesia continues to encourage European Union investment. Indonesia is opening its investment doors wide to foreign investors. This is based on the need to achieve high economic growth rates. One of the efforts is to reduce the negative list of investments in the country. Minister of Investment and Downstream Enterprises, Head of the Investment Coordinating Board Rosan Perkasa Ruslani, stated it at the Indonesia-Europe Investment Summit 2024, entitled Bridging Horizons, European Investment and Indonesia's Path to a Sustainable Future, in Jakarta on Monday. He said the Indonesian government had revised the negative investment list from more than 100 industries that are off-limits to foreigners. There are now only 6 industries that are off-limits to foreigners. At the same time, Indonesia is continuing to improve and simplify regulations that support the flow of foreign investment into the country. He also highlighted that Indonesia's investment efforts now focus not only on increasing investments, but also on downstreaming. This refers to value-added industries that contribute to industrialization within Indonesia. Based on the government's mapping, at least 28 commodities have been identified as having potential for downstreaming and become attractive investment destinations. These commodities are also expected to support Indonesia's journey toward achieving its Golden Indonesia Vision by 2025.
This is the first mapping that we are going to do on the downstreaming, but obviously we're not going to do all. We are going to be to choose 5 or 6 industries that it has a potential, and also in the same time it will have a huge impact to our economy and to our people.
During the event, the European Union Ambassador to Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam, Dennis Chalbi, expressed optimism about Indonesia's target of achieving 8% economic growth. According to Ambassador Chalbi, foreign direct investment, or FDI, and integration into global value chains are critical elements in realizing this goal. FDI significantly contributes to the growth of export-oriented manufacturing industries through technology transfer. Meanwhile, Eurocham Chairman François de Maricourt said that all Eurocham members are committed to supporting Indonesia's 8% growth target. He fully supports the Indonesian government in improving the ease of doing business in Indonesia, which can attract more foreign direct investment, especially from European companies. According to him, this is a very good time for the European Union as there are many investment opportunities in Indonesia. He said Indonesia will continue to be one of the region's growth engines. That was My Indonesia Today.
Balimu saksikan sunset di pantai hilangkan suntukku mandi di tepi lautan. Suasana malam di kute redakan kesalahan marahku.
Terima kasih padiku untuk budaya dan alammu. Terima kasih untuk
cantik gadismu dan kerasnya Balimu, yeah. Sejenak lupakan sesatku hadapi egonya. Hidup di kota Jakarta yang penuh aturan, bicara seadanya yang ada larangnya bergaul sesuka hatiku yang ada bisikan gosipan.
Terima kasih padiku untuk budaya dan alammu. Terima
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, kolintang, the traditional musical instrument typical of Minahasa, North Sulawesi, is officially recognized as part of the representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity by UNESCO. This was announced at the 19th session of the Intergovernmental Committee for the Safeguarding of the Intangible Cultural Heritage in Paraguay on Thursday at 12:20 p.m. local time or on Thursday at 10 p.m. Western Indonesia time. Today's Indonesian Wonder will introduce you more to this Minahasa musical instrument. The name kolintang comes from the sound tong produced on the low notes, ting on the high notes, and tang on the middle notes. In the past, Minahasa people used to invite people to play kolintang by saying, "Let's do tong ting tang," or in Minahasa local language, "Maimo kumolintang." That's where the term kolintang came from. In ancient times, kolintang music was used to accompany traditional ritual ceremonies related to the worship of ancestral spirits. But over time, this musical instrument is present in various activities, such as traditional parties, choirs, weddings, and other events. Listener, kolintang consists of wooden slats arranged in a row and mounted on a wooden top. The way to play kolintang is quite easy. This musical instrument is played by beating using a small stick or called mallet. This small stick is generally wrapped in cloth or yarn pots at the end. The mallets used usually consist of three and are numbered separately. Mallet number one is used in the left hand, while mallet number 2 and 3 are held in the right hand, precisely between the fingers, according to the accord being played. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. There was a piano. We used to play and spend the time till we found it was love. Inside us cannot separate us. There's a flame of love searching in the dark. It's there to guide us, but through the days beyond the haze, I can see you reaching out to hold.
Matter of time, I will belong to you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bima. Di Bima, which means in Bima. You will listen to a conversation about sebelum naik. Sebelum naik, which means before going up. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia and a local of Bima who owned a traditional building at Maria Tourism Village, Bima Regency. The person is telling Chris about how to enter their traditional building, and let's listen to their conversation.
Bangunan ini tinggi ya. Untuk masuk ke dalam, harus naik tangga.
Dulu tangga ini dilepas kalau tidak dipakai. Kami harus memasang tangga sebelum naik.
Tangga ini terbuat dari kayu apa?
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, sebelum naik. Sebelum naik, which means before going up. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Kami, kami, which means we. Harus, harus, which means must. Memasang, memasang, which means install. Tangga, tangga, which means ladder. Sebelum, sebelum, which means before. Naik, naik, which means going up. Kami harus memasang tangga sebelum naik. Kami harus memasang tangga sebelum naik, which means we must install a ladder before going up. Tinggi, tinggi, which means high. Kayu, kayu, which means wood. In the conversation, there is the expression, kami harus memasang tangga sebelum naik. Kami harus memasang tangga sebelum naik, which means we must install a ladder before going up. There is the conjunction sebelum, sebelum, which means before, which connects two clauses and states the chronology. The word sebelum, sebelum, which means before, connects a clause with another clause containing an activity done afterward, namely, kami harus memasang tangga, kami harus memasang tangga, which means we must install a ladder, and naik, naik, which means going up. Other example, let's listen to another use of sebelum. Sebelum, which means before, with another sentence. Chris menonton pacuan kuda sebelum pergi ke Desa Maria. Chris menonton pacuan kuda sebelum pergi ke Desa Maria, which means Chris watched a horse race before going to Maria Village. Sebelum masuk ke bangunan tradisional, ibu-ibu memasang tangga. Sebelum masuk ke bangunan tradisional, ibu-ibu memasang tangga, which means before entering the traditional building, the women installed a ladder. Some stilt houses like Uma Lengge could be found in some regions across Indonesia. The traditional stilt houses can be found in Sulawesi, Sumatra, Java, and Kalimantan. Stilt houses have a high floor and are far from the ground. In the past, stilt houses were built to avoid wild animals and flood. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Bangunan ini tinggi ya. Untuk masuk ke dalam, harus naik tangga.
Dulu tangga ini dilepas kalau tidak dipakai. Kami harus memasang tangga sebelum naik.
Tangga ini terbuat dari kayu apa?
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about sebelum naik, which means before going up. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I am Ahmad Faisal, sampai jumpa.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a Malay song called Wisata Siak or Siak Tour by Uchomond, Wak Leman, Ernie Rashid, and Melka. The song Wisata Siak was written by Atah Rian. This song tells the story of Siak, one of the districts in Riau province. The lyrics tell that Siak is so beautiful. The people of various tribes live in harmony and the culture is rich. The lyrics contain a message to invite traveling to the city of Siak to enjoy the old relics that are still preserved, such as Siak Palace. Well, listener, here is the song Wisata Siak by Uchomond, Wak Leman, Ernie Rashid, and Melka. Happy listening!
Bermacam ragam peninggalan lama dari kami.
kapal kato hingga istana. Ada tangsi belanga juga sumur tua, dan jangan lupa tiarah ke makam raja.
Of Indonesia.
Walau